What Women Must Know with Sheryl Selman, Mondays at 2 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Sheryl Selman, and welcome to What Women Must Know. This is a show dedicated to providing women, and I might add men as well, truthful information to allow them to make informed decisions regarding their health and well-being. And it also is an opportunity to have in-depth conversations with people who are leaders in the field of holistic medicine, be they authors, practitioners, researchers, trying my best to get truthful information out to you. I'm a naturopathic doctor. I am an author. I lecture widely. I have another radio show in addition to this one on the same network every Sunday at 4 p.m. called the Women's Healing Circle. And I am out there, you know, keeping my radar up, finding the most inspiring people in leading edge research. So that's what I'm all about. And in that same regard, I want to let everyone know about a program that's beginning this week. I'm really excited about it. It's called Turn Back the Clock, How to Rejuvenate Your Hormones, Your Health, and Your Life. We are doing a 7-week free teleseminar series with some amazing people who are going to be giving you the keys of how to turn back the clock to your health and well-being. And the great thing about this program is that you can call in, you can bring your questions in, you can listen live, or you can just sign up and get the links to every class and ongoing blogs and lots of great information that we have planned to give you as part of just keeping you up to date and knowledgeable. And if you want to learn more about Turn Back the Clock teleseminar series, then just go to my website, whatwomenmustknow.com, and there you'll be able to register and opt into this amazing program. We are starting off on this Tuesday, October 26th, with Dr. Susan Brown, who is a specialist in natural ways to rebuild and regenerate your bones at any age. And this is a really relevant topic, especially now that information is out, really looking at the damage from Fosamax and the bisphosphonate range of drugs, increasing the risk of fractures of the femur. So this is really important information if you want to know the real scoop on your bones, your bone health, how to regenerate your bones naturally. Then Dr. Susan Brown is the person. We have some great other people lined up, including Dr. Steven Sinatra, Dr. James Wilson, Dr. Helene Leonetti, Dr. Alicia Stanton, and I might add myself. So I'm excited about this series. It's been something I've been planning and wanting to do for a long time, and actually it's now happening. So I hope you will come and join me. And, you know, in my quest to turn back the clock, because I do believe we can get younger and healthier as we get older, we're going to be discussing a really powerful vehicle to help your body turn back the clock today. Funny enough, seems to be the theme of my life these days, and to give us tremendous insight into strategies that make a huge difference is my guest today, who is Dr. Howard Murad. He is a trained pharmacist and associate clinical professor of medicine at UCLA's Geffen School of Medicine, the founder of Murad Skincare Incorporated, the president of the University of Inclusive Health, and a physician who specializes in both inclusive health and dermatology. He is also the author of many books. The book we're going to be talking about today is called The Water Secret, The Cellular Breakthrough to Look and Feel 10 Years Younger. So stay tuned, because this conversation will open the doors of the journey of getting younger and healthier. So I'd love to welcome you to the show today, Dr. Moritz. Thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me. Your program sounds really exciting. Is there any way I can sign up and listen to it?
Well, you know, it's funny you should ask, because I was going to see if you might want to join the program.
Well, I'd love to, if I can.
Well, I'll talk to you, and we'll see what we can do to get you on. Because, you know, I've been reading your book and loving your book, and to me the most exciting area that's unfolding right now is the research confirming how we can, in fact, truly get younger and healthier as we get older. Not just have it as a nice theory, but it's a reality, isn't it?
Absolutely a reality, and I've been able to show that in my patients, and really relatively quickly. You know, the common thread between aging, disease, obesity, and whatever else you can think of, and even wrinkles, is only one thing. And if we look at it in total, the cells when we were younger had more water in them. When we were younger, we didn't have chronic disease. Hopefully, we didn't have so much obesity. We didn't have wrinkles. We had shinier hair, better digestion. We slept better. All of those things are associated with our cells actually containing more water. And the strategy to increase intracellular water is relatively simple. Within 10 weeks, I've been able to demonstrate an enormous improvement in the overall health of people who follow the program. And it's a simple program, just minor lifestyle changes.
You know, you have a quote in your book, and I just like to state it, because I think it's the whole foundation about the rest of the conversation we're going to have. So what you say is, by the time you reach 50, your lifestyle determines 80% of your aging process. The difference between a 60-year-old who looks 40-something and a 40-year-old who looks 60-something is maintenance. But it's never too late to turn back the clock. There we go. Physically and from a cellular standpoint. That is a powerful statement, that, you know, after the age of 50, it's lifestyle that determines 80% of the aging process. That means we have a lot of control of how we age.
And actually, even before that, you have a lot of control. But certainly by that time, by the age of 50, any genetic malformation or accident that may be happening has already occurred. So now it's really lifestyle that's going to make the difference. And again, you know, it doesn't require major changes in your lifestyle. It really doesn't. They're very minor changes in what I call inclusive health. So in the past, people used to say, well, the most important thing you can do is exercise and change your diet. And of course that's important. But really, unfortunately, that's not enough, because it's a three-pronged approach. It's what you eat is obviously important. I tell people, before there was medicine, there was food. If you ate well, you wouldn't need so much medicine. Of course, I put exercise in what I call emotional well-being, and that's very important, and actually more for women than for men, and I can explain that to you. And really also how you take care of the surface of your skin, which is really 15 to 16% of your whole body, is very critical. So it's a three-pronged approach, and all of it relatively simple.
Well, let's look at that three-pronged approach, because we have the time to go into it. I know you've got so much important information. You know, maybe one of the first things we can define, because I found it really interesting in learning about the difference between intracellular hydration and extracellular hydration.
Correct. Well, when we think of your body, it's, and I like to simplify the message, your body is made of cells. It's made of skin cells, heart cells, liver cells, and connective tissue that connects every cell with every other cell. The cell membranes are made of amino acids and lipids, and it's important to eat more of those key nutrients so that your cell membranes become strong and retain the water within every cell in your body. So this way, when we get more water in your cell, then every organ in your body is going to function well. But how do we deliver that strength is through the connection. function, the connective tissue. And with that, you need amino acids also, but something called glycosaminoglycans in the form of foods. The things that damage our cells and our connective tissue are free radicals, inflammation, and stress. So minimizing that makes a difference. Now, where does the water reside? Ideally, we would like a lot of it to reside within the cell. Now, extracellular, outside of your cell, is in connective tissue. Your blood vessels, your tendons, your nerves, the dermis of your skin are very important. Extracellular water is also in the blood, in the lymph, in synovial fluid. But as we get older, as we eat badly, we intend to get what I call wasted water, water that sits in bloat, in edema, puffy eyelids, swollen ankles. All of those are harmful to us. And we do have total control over those elements to minimize that damage by strengthening our cells so they retain the water, strengthening our connective tissue so that water stays there, and eliminating the bloat and the wasted water.
You know, there's a form of testing, I don't know if you've ever used it, bioimpedance testing, that actually can test intracellular and extracellular water. This is a really big issue, isn't it?
Because absolutely, and that's where I get all the information, looking at a lot of the attributes. When we do that test, we get the basal metabolic rate, the intra and extracellular water. You know, we get a lot of information, body fat, body muscle, bone density. It's a very simple test, and I use it every day in my office.
Oh, that's so interesting, because I think that that's a great way to see this distinction between intracellular and extracellular, because, and you make this point in your book, you can be drinking tons of water, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's getting where it needs to go to, inside the cell, to help the cell perform all its key functions.
Absolutely. That's the key. That's the most important thing. And the other thing, you know, by the way, talking about women and the difference between women and men, is women have more body fat than men do. They also obviously have less testosterone. So what does that mean? Well, the water in our body is utilized to detoxify a lot of elements. So water in fat is only 10 to 15%. Water in muscle is over 70%. So let's say the average man and woman, same height, same age, same weight, has alcohol. The blood alcohol level in a woman will be higher. They're more susceptible to the harm of alcohol, which may be associated with things as distant as even melanoma of the skin, because their body doesn't have the same amount of water as men do. And so the ability to detoxify is the issue. The other problem is, what do we want to do? We want to build muscle in women. Well, men have so much testosterone, it's much easier to build muscle than it is for women, so that a man can go to the gym and before you know it, his biceps are, you know, 57 inches. Of course, I'm exaggerating. But women, you know, they could work all day long and they don't get that. It's harder for them to build muscle. And obviously weight-bearing muscle is very, very critical. You know, there are two kinds of doing your exercise. The aerobics are wonderful for your heart, but you want to build muscle. And one of the things I talk about in the book, The Water Secret, is that if we think of longevity and we can say, okay, what's more important, the level of your cholesterol or your bone density? And the bone density is a better indicator of longevity than cholesterol. So building muscle that is weight bearing is very critical for women, and that's one of the key elements that I tell all of my patients who come to see me. Listen, you've got to do some weight bearing, because generally people are there doing aerobics, they're on the treadmill, they're riding their bikes or walking or whatever, but weight bearing is very, very critical and very important.
Now, I'm just going to diverge a bit on this topic of weight-bearing. What is your recommendation for how much weight-bearing exercise or working with weights is ideal for women? Because, I mean, this is especially for women over 50, you start seeing the loss of bone mass, muscle mass.
Absolutely. And by the way, after age 25, the average person tends to gain 1 pound a year and lose a half a pound of muscle. Mm. So it's a constant battle. You think, oh, I don't need to do it till I'm, I'm 55 or whatever. You really should be doing it today, no matter how young you are. But how much weight is really dependent on you, and obviously you don't want to start with a big heavy weight. You want to program yourself and do smaller weights or even no weights in the beginning. I like, you know, to use these rubber bands, if nothing else, and use a thinner one, and as time goes on, you can use a bigger one. Even a one-pound weight, anything is really very important. And then you build up to it. So I don't tell my patients you need to do this or that. I just say to them, you know what, minor steps. You don't have to go from 0 to 100. It's okay to go to 0 to 1 and then to 2 and see where you can tolerate it, because I don't want them to stop doing it. It's very important that they continue the process, and I don't want them to get overburdened with it. So minimal short steps to start with, and every woman should be doing a little bit of weight exercise, not just aerobics. It's very important for women even more than men.
And some protein as well after you do that, right?
Absolutely, and part of my my diet is also, again, relating to that, is very simple, and part of it is taking amino acids, which are the building blocks for collagen. And here again, in collagen, we lose 1% of our collagen, and more with women than men, every single year after age 20. So building collagen, which comes from the amino acids, is important. And I like what I call embryonic foods, eggs, beans, seeds, because if you think of it, an egg, chicken sits on an egg, out comes a chick, and a lot of nice elements in eggs, like lecithin, which is very important for your cell membrane, and really good sources of amino acids. And by the way, the cholesterol in the eggs is utilized by the body to help you build your own hormones. So you need that as a building block for hormones. I see a lot of women who are just eating egg whites because they think it's cholesterol and it's fattening, and the whole egg is only 80 calories anyway. It's not that much, even if you eat the yolk. So those are important foods to take. To go into a little more detail about the diet, basically, instead of thinking about low fat or high fat or low carb or whatever, I tell people think of juicy foods, because generally foods that contain water tend to be healthier. Imagine you have potato chips and cookies and a cucumber, which is healthier. Obviously, a cucumber is 97% water. So juicy foods, if you just focus on that, you can even eat more of those. Raw fruits and vegetables have what I call structured water, which penetrates in your cells better than tap water or bottled water. Raw fruits and vegetables have antioxidants, anti-inflammatories. A lot of raw fruits and vegetables are predominantly water. For example, cucumbers, watermelons, 97% water. Eggplant is 94%. Most fruits and vegetables are at least 80% water. So what else is good about them? Basically, they tend to be alkaline-forming, and cancer cells do not survive well in alkaline media, so we want to be more alkaline in our bodies. The only things that have roughage are plants, so roughage helps eliminate body fat, and it's really cardi-healthy. And the other thing about it is that they form something called prebiotic. So the bacteria in your gut digest the skin of the raw fruits and vegetables, and that's what they feed on. The good bacteria then grow. The bad bacteria, like E. coli, cannot utilize those. So instead of taking probiotics and eating, which is good, I mean, I recommend people eating yogurt and taking probiotics, but building your immune system with probiotics, but even better, prebiotics may be a better solution by just modifying your diet. So those simple things can make a difference. And actually, I tell my patients, eat more, not less. Instead of eating foods that are processed and junk foods that we tend to eat more and more of, eat more raw fruits and vegetables. Encourage juicy foods like grilled chicken. Breast of chicken without skin is 60% water. Fish, grilled fish, is 50-60% water. So eating foods that are rich in water are very important, and it's really the healthiest way to go, encouraging more water in your cells.
Now, you said something really interesting, and I think it's a really important distinction. You were talking about how the water content of fruits and vegetables and even some of the proteins are a structured form of water, and why this type of molecular structure has a huge impact on hydration as opposed to the water we may be drinking out of our bottled sources or even
Absolutely.
Out of the tap. Can you explain that a bit more? Because that's really important, isn't it?
It's very important because the structured water from our fruits and vegetables is enveloped. Besides water, it's got some other nutrients with it. It's a little longer to go through your cells, into your cells, whereas bottled water or tap water goes right through your cells and out into the bathroom. So that's a problem. The other thing is thinking about the difference between, say, raw fruits and vegetables and water. If you take a cucumber, 3 ounces cucumber is 3 ounces of water, essentially. Water is just water. This has antioxidants, anti-inflammatories, and all those other things I mentioned. So you're getting so many more benefits out of eating your water instead of drinking it.
Because you actually debunk this 8 glasses of water a day story.
And you know, absolutely. And, you know, that's the myth of all time because that study was done in 1945. And what they did is they measured a group of people and wanted to know how much hydration they required on an average daily basis. And it came out to 2.4 liters of water. And that's all that people hear. But the rest of the story is most of that water came from foods. So the idea is, yes, foods have water, and we don't appreciate the benefits of the water within our foods.
Yes, and that's so interesting because we can get a little obsessive about making sure we have our 8 glasses of water, but it's not necessarily a very efficient way of accomplishing the goal, which is hydrating on a cellular level.
Absolutely. And, you know, actually the healthiest patients I see are the ones who don't drink 8 glasses of water a day because they're eating their water.
Yeah.
You can actually become somewhat dehydrated by drinking too much water because you eliminate some of your electrolytes when you're drinking too much. Another way to look at water is, you know, the three evils of food are fat, pure fat, animal fat, pure sugar, and pure salt. Pure fat damages our cell membrane because it causes inflammation. Pure sugar causes something called glycation, which causes free radical damage. Pure salt, for every 1 gram of salt, you need 23 grams of water to eliminate it. So here you are eating a bunch of potato chips and drinking gallons of water, and that water, which is so precious to go into your cells, is now being utilized to eliminate the salt. And if you don't have enough, then all you get is bloat and puffy eyelids and edema. So it's very important understanding the way water works and the needs of your body to have water within its cell, and unfortunately just drinking water doesn't do it.
You know, what you're advocating is what so many people are saying. Obviously, going back to a healthy diet that's composed of your vegetables, your fruits, you know, just natural sources of nutrition. But you're really emphasizing the importance of these foods because of their ability to hydrate our cells. And often people don't really understand that mm-hmm. component of a healthy diet.
It's so important. I mean, think about it. What's the one thing you can't do without besides oxygen is water.
Yeah.
I mean, you can survive without food for days, but you can't survive very long without water because water is the most precious element we have. And how we get water in our cells is important. And by the way, you know, one of the chapters I talk about is exercise. And people say, well, exercise dehydrates me because I'm sweating. But the truth is it doesn't. As you build exercise, you're building muscle, which contains more water. And you're actually maybe thirsty, but you're not dehydrated. So building muscle is a good way of hydrating your whole body, giving it more energy, more passion, building your basal metabolic rate, minimizing body fat, sleeping better, all of those wonderful attributes.
That's so interesting. I haven't heard that said before. So you actually improve hydration the more you build muscle mass.
Absolutely, because again, muscle is 70% water,
yeah.
Fat is 10% water. Well, what do you want? You want more muscle or more fat? Of course you want more muscle, and more muscle is a source of water. Also, connective tissue is a source of water, and connective tissue is a reservoir of water to your cells, so that if you think of your skin, basically your skin is about 60 or 70% water. So the dermis of your skin, as your cells become somewhat dehydrated, there's a pump within cells that attracts water from the cell, the connective tissue. So we're attracting water from the connective tissue. So that's sort of as a reservoir. Building that is very important. And a key nutrient that would be very helpful. Most people think of glucosamine as something good for arthritis, but glucosamine is an integral part of building something called glycosaminoglycans, which are necessary to build collagen and elastin, which is what connective tissue is made of. And the connective tissue, again, isn't just the tendons and the ligaments. It's also the dermis of your skin, your nerves, your blood vessels. A lot of the very important elements of your body are made up mostly of water. So taking foods, actually whole grains are a good source of the glycosaminoglycans, because the shell of whole grains is what helps build collagen, because it is a form, it develops as a form of glycosaminoglycans. But as substitute for that, you can buy glucosamine.
Wow, that's interesting. Let's talk about the foods that you think are the most important foods that we need to be eating. Maybe get more specific on some of those foods, and also some of the. I know you talk about spices and
yes.
Seasonings, and I think that's really critical because there's so much value there. So I want you to mention that, and then maybe you can go on and talk about some supplements that you recommend that also support. Whether it's hydration or just the rejuvenation of our body and our skin.
Correct. Well, let's talk about the supplements first. Basically, and actually you're better off getting them in the form of foods if you can, but as we get older, our factory, our body that builds new cells, becomes less and less capable. So we usually probably do need more supplements as we get older. So what are the key ones that are important? Obviously, a one a day, we have the trace minerals and the B vitamins and the things that we need on a regular basis. But when we look at the cells, the cell membrane becomes weaker and weaker as we get older, and it becomes thinner. So how do we strengthen it? Well, what is the cell membrane made out of? It's made up of amino acids and lipids, and it's damaged by antioxidants, free radicals, and stress. So antioxidants, anti-inflammatories, important nutrients, and amino acids. And by the way, there are groups of amino acids that tend to be more important than others. Taurine is one of them, and betaine is another one, glycine. But a lot of those, if you get a supplement of all of the amino acids, then you're getting all of those. And then the good lipids, obviously, are the good fats, the omega-3, the omega-6s, some of them, some of the omega-9s. So those are important for the strengthening the cell membrane, because when the cell membrane becomes older, they become porous and they begin to lose water. So strengthening that, minimizing damage is important. And I can talk a little bit later about stress. Then the other is the connective tissue. Again, connective tissue is made out of amino acids, but they also need glycosaminoglycans to build them. So the same amino acids are important. Glycosaminoglycans would be glucosamine, and again, the antioxidants and the anti-inflammatories are important. So how do we get that in food? Well, number one is if we eat a lot of raw fruits and vegetables, we're getting a lot of the trace minerals and the B vitamins and all of those, along with the antioxidants and anti-inflammatories, plus we're getting the better water. Whole grains, the shell of the whole grain, in a way acts like the glucosamine because it helps build collagen. Good protein that's easy to digest, like eggs, beans, and seeds. I call them embryonic foods. So you think about it, a chicken sits on an egg, out comes a chick. So it's got a lot of nutrients. You plant a seed or a bean in the earth, and out comes a plant. Then the good fats, we know what they are. They're the olive oil, the flaxseed oil, walnuts, cold water fish, almonds, things like that. And I never tell people don't drink water because it's important to drink water, but predominantly eat more water than drink it. So the idea of you just drinking two glasses of water isn't the end all. It's okay if you're eating your water, because even if you believe that statement that you need 2.4 liters of water, if you get more of it from your foods, maybe that's better than getting it from just drinking water. So that's the diet, and it's based on this whole concept of encouraging more water in every cell, strengthening your cell membrane so they become less porous, so they don't leak the water, and strengthening your connective tissue, all of those, so that they contain water. One way for me to explain why water is...
Can you hold that thought? We need to take a break, and then when we get back, we can go and continue this fascinating conversation. So hang on there, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. You're listening to What Women Must Know, and we will be right back.
Progressive Radio Network, information for the independent mind. Tune in to City's Grace Notes, where we'll be bringing you inspired voices from around the world. Creative voices from various fields and backgrounds. New sounds, new music, and new ideas with your host, CD. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on Progressive Radio Network.
Ever wonder why some people have successful lives? Well, let's shrink about this. Hi, I'm Dr. Molly Barrow, author of Matchlines for Singles and the Malia and Teacup Self-Esteem Building Series for Children. Please join me and my guests every Tuesday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to explore psychological and practical problem solving, from personal issues to world events. You can call in to join the conversation or just enjoy listening. If you're looking for balance in your relationship, career choices, family, and your planet, please join Dr. Molly Barrow and Shrink About This Tuesday at 10 Eastern on www.progressiveradionetwork.com.
Hotel with Sierra Club Radio. Tune in Fridays at 11 a.m. Eastern on the Progressive Radio Network.com to hear interviews with green authors, activists, politicians, celebrities, and more.
You are listening to the Progressive Radio Network, your number one source for progressive commentary.
Welcome back, everyone, to What Women Must Know. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and my guest today, we're very fortunate to have the father of internal skin care, Dr. Howard Murad, who has written a fascinating and very important book, The Water Secret, The Cellular Breakthrough to Look and Feel 10 Years Younger. That's pretty amazing, Dr. Murad, to be called the father of internal skincare. Congratulations on that acknowledgement for the work you've done over the years.
Well, thank you. And again, the idea here is that your whole body is connected. And most people, when they think of skincare, they think of, well, I'm putting on this product or that product on my skin. And the truth is, when you put a product on your skin, it's addressing the epidermis, which is at the most 20% of your skin. The rest of your skin is connected, as the topical also, to the rest of your body, and making the rest of your body as healthy as possible, encouraging an increase in collagen in the connective tissue, improving the circulation everywhere, reducing the toxins with good liver function and good kidney function, and better circulation with your heart and the nerves from your brain, actually make your skin a lot healthier. And people sort of think of the skin as a separate organ, but it really is connected to the rest of our body. So it's very important to understand that.
Well, you know, you started out with your focus on dermatology and developing some breakthrough skin products, but is your work taking you deeper into these root cause issues, or have you always been interested in the holistic side of things?
I've always been interested in it, and obviously over time it's evolved into what I do now, which is essentially any patient that comes to see me, even if they come in for a rash, I like to look at them as a whole person, and I spend time with them trying to understand what's going on in their body. People come in, for example, with acne. Well, is the acne because of hormonal problems? Is the acne because of stress? Is it because of medication they're taking? Understanding the whole person is important. You know, one way to look at the aging process and disease, by the way, and this is maybe going in a little different direction, but if you think of disease, if we were to cure cancer tomorrow, which obviously would be wonderful, it probably wouldn't increase longevity all that much. The reason for that is the most important thing we can do is to make our cells younger rather than focus on a disease. Because what happens when our cells are older, when we get older, our cell membranes become thinner and more susceptible to various issues. So if it's not the cancer, it'll be something else that'll get us, some new disease, new problem that we're not aware of. And strengthening our cells, making them younger like they were when we were younger, makes us more resistant to everything. If you look at people over 65, they have what's called multimorbidity on average. So Medicare's expenses occur after, say, 70 or 75 or 80, because people now have four or five chronic diseases. And fixing any one of them isn't going to be making that much of a difference, because you fix one and then another one will show up. So a new way of understanding health and reducing disease entirely is a way of encouraging strengthening your cells, encouraging more intracellular water. That's going to make the biggest difference. That's the most important thing that we can do. More important, obviously, you know, if you have a disease, you should treat it. That's not what I'm saying. But if you were going to focus on one thing, it would be focusing on strengthening your cells, every cell in your body, so you become more resistant to disease. And if you do happen to get the disease, at least you'll be able to address it a lot better, and the treatment will work better.
Well, you know, it makes such common sense, obviously, to support the body's ability to repair, regenerate, to be nourished, because if we do that, then we have resilience in being able to deal with chronic illnesses or avoid them.
Absolutely.
You know, before the break, you were talking about some of the suggestions as far as nutrition. So I just want to let you continue that and share what else you might have, you know, need to say that we didn't get around to saying, because I think it's really important.
Yeah. Well, in the Water Secret book, I talk about the nutrition, and I don't focus on specific that you have to eat this or that. I give recipes. But essentially, the focus is juicy foods, foods that contain water, that really make a difference. And I give all kinds of very simple recipes. For example, for breakfast, if you get a bunch of veggies, you get one egg, a tablespoon of lentil beans, and some spices that you were talking about, whether it's ginger or garlic or cayenne pepper, whatever, you know, you like, turmeric, and scramble the eggs up, put the veggies on the pan with a little bit of olive oil or canola oil, which may be a little bit better there, and then toast some whole grain bread, and then you scramble the eggs on top. The egg, it's one egg. You turn it over. So we're talking about, at the most, you know, 120 or 130 calories, and then a piece of toast that you put olive oil on. That will keep you full all day, and you're thinking, my gosh, I've eaten all of this food. Whereas if you have a muffin, which is mostly sugar, what you're getting is more calories. And after you eat it, after about an hour, you're thirsty, you're hungry again. Whereas eating this kind of veggie scramble that I call, you're healthy, you're not hungry, you don't feel like you need to eat till lunchtime, and you're satisfied. And you haven't gotten that high sugar level, which causes you to have more insulin, which encourages more fat over time. So there's so many benefits of eating the way that I recommend, rather than the traditional American diet, unfortunately, which stands for SAD, standard American diet, is 46% fast food.
Yes, I know. It's going back to, going back to common sense, basically, isn't it? To eating real food again, not synthetic food.
Absolutely.
I want you to talk about stress and the impact of stress on our health and hydration, our skin. But before we go there, there was something that you wrote in the beginning of the book that I think is really important. I find it quite fascinating. And this is the role of telomeres, the indication of how well we are basically rejuvenating, and some of the latest research. Can you explain that a bit more?
Yes. Well, there was a Nobel Prize this year of the scientists who discovered telomeres. And telomeres are ways that our DNA gets replicated. So over time, you need the telomeres. It's like, you have shoelaces, the tip of the shoelace needs to be there all the time. But the point that I wanted to make is the telomeres are parts of a cell. And if the cell is dehydrated, then every function of every organelle in the cell can't work as well. And I'm old enough to remember when I had an automobile where you'd go in to get a gas station, the attendant would open up the hood and check the battery. The battery had all the chemicals it needed, but it became dehydrated and they'd put in water. And that's what begins to happen to our cells as they begin to become more dehydrated as we get older. And by the way, I say we go from a sense of full hydration to less and dehydration ultimately, and that's the aging process. So when we have less water, there tends to be more waste matter within our cells, and every single organelle in the body, whether it's the Golgi apparatus or whatever, is not going to be able to function as well. So hydration is actually more important because we're looking at a global picture of understanding how much water is in the cell, which tends to be the most important element. Once we have enough water in our cells, it's going to function as the best. As another point of looking at, again, women, we talk about menopause. And in menopause, obviously, your body is not able to manufacture the hormones that you were able to before, the estrogens and so on. But think about this. If you, in fact, you do have now a cell that is 50 years old, 60 years old, 45 years old, whatever, it's not as healthy as it was when it was 19 or 18. And one of the things that I can tell you is different is that the cell membranes are thinner and they become more porous and some water has leaked out. Now, suppose now it only has 5% water, but the maximum, if we could hydrate it to its maximum, it would have 10% water. If we could even increase that amount of water by a little bit, then it would produce the maximum amount of estrogen. And if it did that, then you maybe would be able to do without getting any treatment, or if you need a treatment, it would only work better. So the idea of this encouraging intracellular water is a way of encouraging your whole body to function more like it did when it was younger and minimizing all the diseases and the ailments that we tend to have.
I recently came across a statistic that was quite astounding, and it said that there are 100,000 biochemical reactions that go on in our cells every second.
And, absolutely.
And the need for water is critical to allow those 100,000 biochemical reactions to occur, which again places the importance on proper cellular hydration.
Right. And I like analogies, so let's look at a cell. And the analogy I'm going to use is that of a tire. So you have a brand new tire. It's got a lot of rubber on it. And you go over bumps in the road, you go over a tack, there's no problem, the air stays in it, and you drive at 60 miles an hour with the gas pedal pressed at 60 miles an hour, that's what you'll do. After 30, 40, 50,000 miles on that, the rubber becomes weaker and weaker, and it begins to leak water, air. So you drive 10 miles, and it's not flat, but it's almost flat. You pump in air. You drive another 20 miles, and you need to pump more air. I don't know if you've ever had that experience. But essentially, that's what happens to our cells, is they have less and less water. The cell membrane becomes thinner, and they're not able to function as well. This is maybe not a great analogy, but think of that tire that is brand new. It will have would have less stress on the engine of the car. But what about the one with 50,000 miles? You've got to press the gas pedal further down to go that same 60 miles. You're going to put more stress on the engine, more stress on the transmission. In the heart, in the body, it's more heart, more stress on the heart, more stress on the brains. So the idea of trying to get your cell membranes stronger and maintaining an increase in intracellular water is the same as trying to get a tire that has more rubber on it and has more air in it. The other way to look at that, again, when I was talking about this multimorbidity and the fact that we need to have our cells to be stronger, if you go over a tack with a brand new tire, probably you won't get a flat. But if you go over a tack with a tire that's 50,000 miles old, you're more likely to get a flat. So minor damages, which we wouldn't think of would be damaging, will damage us. And more important than just trying to cure disease is trying to make our cells younger and healthier, because then we'll be resistant to all disease instead of just focusing on one.
So you have a section of your book that talks about stress. Can we talk a bit about stress and what
Yes.
your comments are about that?
Yes. I define a new type of stress, which I call cultural stress. There's traditional stress, which is acute stress. You're in an auto accident. There is chronic stress. You're not satisfied with your occupation, your job, your relationship, things like that, that people have chronic stress. But cultural stress is constant and pervasive. And what is it? Well, we tend to be working harder and harder. Americans work more hours than the Japanese even do. We start off our day early. We're on our, one part of this could be considered techno stress. We're on our BlackBerry right away. We want to get up early because we want to beat the traffic, and there's more and more traffic all the time. There's more sound pollution. There's more air pollution on the way to work. We finally get to work. We haven't had a good night's sleep, so we have a bunch of coffee. Caffeine stays in your body 18 hours. We are too busy to eat lunch, so we have the standard American diet, which is fast foods, which is devoid in the omegas. Omegas are very important elements of the brain, and in my patient load, I see 40 to 50% of my patients on antidepressants, and it's thought that in the future, depression will be a major disease, more major than virtually anything else. Then you finally get home from work. You're exhausted. You don't have time to have real friends, or even if you have a family, you're too tired to really spend time. So we have more and more isolation. Isolation leads to stress and disease. We don't sleep well. And we don't sleep well, what happens, because we have had all this caffeine and we're wired, we don't sleep well. Our body doesn't recognize when we get full, and so we tend to eat more. When we don't sleep well, all kinds of diseases are associated with it, from heart disease to Alzheimer's and everything in between. There's also the tendency of developing the hypothalamic axis, which encourages more cortisol. Cortisol encourages the body to utilize its muscle and retain fat, so we tend to gain more and more obesity. So it becomes kind of a vicious cycle that we go through. And I talk about strategies to minimize it, how we can get to sleep a little bit better, how to minimize stress, how to encourage yourselves to have more social interactions where there's a physical activity. Getting a bear hug is very important. Once in a while, the more the better. The healing power of touch is very important. To me, that's the most important chapter in the book, because we are all suffering from cultural stress, and we don't even recognize that because it's constant, it's pervasive, it's always here. Even children suffer from it. There's a study recently that children with asthma, or infants with asthma, within 100 meters of stop-and-go traffic have more asthma attacks than infants who live more than 100 meters away from stop-and-go traffic. All of those are related. And some of the things are really simple that I recommend. And I have sayings throughout the book. What's beginning to happen to us is we become a society of perfectionists. We're expected to answer every one of our 400 emails every single day, and we don't have the time to do that, and we feel like failures because we haven't. So I say, be imperfect, live longer. We also, because of that, we begin to be critical of ourselves, because again, we don't feel that we're capable and functioning at the level that we're expected, because there's so much expected of us. So I say, don't let failure spoil your success. The idea of, okay, so you didn't do this correctly. Don't let that be the statement that this doesn't allow you to go to the next level. My favorite saying is, this guy said, the only reason I didn't go to college is because my second grade teacher didn't teach me math. Well, okay, you didn't learn math, so you can go into social studies or politics or whatever. There are a lot of different sayings that I think make a difference. At the end of the book, I say something like, we're all born with a unique commodity called life. It is stressed by the environment, and it's up to us to make the best of it. So more and more positive ways of looking at life are very important. In that chapter, part of the chapter is exercise, because I don't think of exercise as a separate thing. I think it's part of emotional self-care. So the Water Secret book is a way of encouraging water in three ways: what we put on our skin to prevent damage from the environment and reduce the elements from attacking the rest of our body, what we eat to help build our cell membranes and connective tissue, and emotional self-care to minimize the damage that occurs. And that may be the biggest damage that is happening to us, and we don't even realize it.
And that's why your book is so fascinating, because it really is a holistic approach in addressing the key facets that we really have to become aware of, and we have to make the choices that support our ability to follow the really simple guidelines to, again, restore health and rejuvenate and live a saner, more balanced, peaceful life.
Absolutely. And it's real simple. Just minor lifestyle modifications can make such a big difference.
Dr. Murda, I'm going to have to ask you this question, because I'm sure you get asked it a million times, but because you're such an expert in dermatology and put together some great skincare products, in the interest of women who are wanting to know what's the best thing to support healthy skin and build collagen, what are you saying to your patients these days?
You won't believe what I say to them. I say, smile. That is the most important thing you can do to look more beautiful. Certainly, you know, what you put on your body is very important. What you put on your skin is very important. But the concept of emotional well-being, the need to be happy, because, you know, frankly, if you're happy and you're confident with yourself and you feel good about yourself, you know what to do. You know that, you know, the foods I'm recommending are good for you. I don't really have to tell you that. You know that it's important to do exercise. I don't have to tell you that. You know that a good moisturizer is very important to attract water to your cells. All of those are there. But you need to smile. You need to be happy. You need to feel fulfilled. You need to feel that, you know, you're not alone in this world, that you're not isolated. Joining a, you know, okay, so you don't have a family and you're in a new community. Try to join a group. Try to, you know, I ask my patients, I say, who's the most important person in the world to you? And obviously most of them say, well, it's my this or that, my mother, my whoever. And I say, well, what about you? And usually we don't really take care of ourselves. So I tell people, splurge on yourself at least as well as you would as with that other important person. Reduce isolation. If you enjoy reading a book and you say, I don't have time, join a book club. You know, take a class in something you enjoy doing. Give back. Do some charitable work and see how more fortunate you are compared to other people. All of those encourage you to have a better self-esteem, to feel good about yourself. And then the rest of it, you know, frankly, you know most of this information. Sure, it helps to read more about it. There may be facts that are that you don't know that you'll find in various books. And obviously, I'd like people to read my book, The Water Secret. But really, it's that smile that's the most important thing.
Oh, I love that answer. It's a great answer. Thank you. Well, before we come to the end of the show, why don't we give your website and whatever other information, how to access The Water Secret and learn more about the wonderful work that you're doing.
Well, the ideal website for the book is called thewatersecretbook.com, thewatersecretbook.com. And there, actually, you when you buy the book, you get some free products to go with it. So that would be a nice way to get some products as well as getting the book. And then the overall website is called murad.com, M-U-R-A-D.com. So well, thewatersecretbook.com.
So that's the best place to go to learn about the book, the information. And I didn't know you're giving away some special products. Wow. What
oh, yeah.
That's
yes,
wonderful.
Absolutely. I think till the end of the month, it's up to $200 worth of product when you buy a book, which, depending on where you buy it, and by the way, it tells you where you can buy it, whether it's on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or Walmart or Target or Borders or any bookstore. And you buy it, you send in the receipt and a copy of the receipt, and then we send you a bunch of products.
Well, can't get any better than that, can it?
No.
Well,
not
Dr.
at all.
It's been such a pleasure talking with you. I am so appreciative of the great work you are doing. And you know, you make in The Water Secret, it's such an easy read so people can understand it but get inspired at the same time. And obviously, we hope they will apply the wisdom that you're sharing in that book. And I just want to thank you for the time to spend with us today.
And I want to thank you for allowing me to spend time with you. It has been a real honor and a real pleasure to be on the program with you. I appreciate all the work you're doing.
Well, thank you so much. And we will be in touch, okay?
Great.
All right. And I just want to thank everyone for joining us today. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. We've been having a fascinating conversation with Dr. Howard Murad, who is the author of The Water Secret. Take advantage of that amazing offer if you go to the website, thewatersecretbook.com, and purchase the book. There are some amazing goodies that are available to you for free for just getting the book. I think that's an awesome offer. And I also want to remind everyone to sign up for this amazing 7-week teleseminar series called Turn Back the Clock that I will be a part of. More of the great information that you're getting on programs like today. And just go to whatwomenmustknow.com. There you can sign up. It takes you to the link where you can sign up and you can join the teleseminar. If you can't be there in person, all those important conversations happening every week will be emailed to you as a link. We will have ongoing blogs, special offers, some great things. Come and join us and turn back your clock. So, until next time, thank you for joining me, and remember to always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.